Pretty good prayer. What do you guys think? Is anybody here? Did I walk out and nobody here? I thought that was a pretty good prayer. What do you guys think? All right. We're talking about prayer, but before I do, I'm glad you guys are here. Thanks for being a part and joining us, and I want to say thank you last week. 32 years has really been a blessing for me to be here, and I appreciate the gift and the expressions of your love, and I pray you know how much I love you guys, and I was thinking about the gift and everything, but this church has always been a generous church. This church has always been a church that was giving and part of what God was doing. Some of you don't know the history, but we have this beautiful, nice, air-conditioned building today. Anybody enjoying this? You know, I hope you're not too cold, but I'm going to tell you what, you might get cold out there, but it's hot up here, all right? And I was thinking about our, you know, just in case you don't know, this church is so generous and so blessed by God. You don't know the history of what happened and how we got here, how the county wanted to widen the street over here, so we gave them the land. They put curb, gutter, sidewalk, and thousands of dollars they paid that we would have had to pay in order to build our building. The school wanted some parking and a new entrance, so we gave them an easement to the front of our church, and they put that easement out there, and it didn't cost us anything. You know, the school wanted to hook into the storm drain system, and the only way through the storm drain system for the back was through our church, so we got to hook our parking lot into a church. God has been so generous. We did our financial campaign for our church, and the statistics are this for our financial campaign for the church, that you can get a good campaign would be 100% of whatever your annual budget is for a three-year pledge. 200% would be an awesome gift. 300% is just really above and beyond, and they really call that a miracle gift. And we came close to the 300% as a church. God has blessed this church, and God has been good. So if you got to understand the history of what God is and what God's done, but what's exciting to me is He's not done. You know, I'm sitting here after 32 years, and we had this great recession that made a very devastating blow in our church. We lost every leader in the church, basically. My worship leader, our evangelism leader, our home group leader, all those moved away with that recession that really devastated Salida. But we're coming back. I was looking at it last week. We had over 90 people here last week. We're climbing back up to where we were when we left Salida. We had Vacation Bible School with 50-plus kids. I think 56 kids in vacation and 30 leaders, workers helping us work Vacation Bible School. You know, we're getting ready to start Awanas again and trying to get pumped up and getting ready to start Awanas again. I was just looking at all God is doing. I'm excited. I'm working on our 40-day study. Remember our annual 40-day study? Some of you, we've been doing those for like 15, 16 years now, and I'm kind of excited about that, and I'm just really excited about what God is doing because God's not done. But one of the things that's going to make it happen, because I want to tell you something. My dream right now, and I'm sitting there really wrestling with this, and I want to challenge us as a church that in 3 years we have 200 people attending this church in 3 years. I think that's possible. I think it's possible for us to reach 200. I'm kind of frustrated right now because I've never been here a year that I can remember that we never baptized at least one person. I got to the end of this month to get one person baptized. Anybody here need Jesus? Yeah. If you've never gotten baptized, you never cross that invisible line. When I get done this morning, you need to make that decision. Not because I want a number, but because I want to make sure you go to heaven. I want to make sure you miss hell and make heaven. That's my joy. And that's my peace, because that's going to be my joy in heaven. My joy in heaven is going to be walking around heaven, seeing you guys there, having a part in that experience and sharing with that. But I want to talk about prayer, and I want us to think about prayer and our praying. Last week, we looked at prayer, and I told you there's kind of like two ways of praying that we kind of adapt in our lives, that we have this one here. It says, if you get your outline out, I wrote it this way, pray without ceasing. We have that prayer without ceasing. I call this those hit-and-run prayers. Now, they're not bad, all right? Hit-and-run prayer is not bad. You know, God lays something on your heart. Something flashes across your mind. You know, you're somewhere, and it's like, so God laid somebody on my heart. And that happens to me. I can be walking somewhere. I can be sitting in my office typing a paper, and all of a sudden, God just lays something upon my heart and for some of you. And I, you know, I am praying for you. And sometimes I'll text you, hey, God, just sent me to pray for you. In situation, maybe something you wrote on one of the blue cards come to our mind. And just kind of a hit-and-run prayer. We need the hit-and-run. We need those kind of prayers. Pray without ceasing. But we also need another kind of prayers, what we looked at here. And I think Paul spoke of that in Ephesians. Look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 6. Pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers. Now, look at how many times he's saying, pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. Praying, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready. Never give up. Always pray for all God's people. Over and over, he's talking about that. And I wrote it this way last week. I said, we need to have this consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. All right? That's pretty easy to memorize, right? Consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. We need those times when we pause, when we stop, and we spend some time just talking to God, intentionally talking to God, closing out all the distractions, closing out all those things that draw our attention away from God, and just spend some time talking to God. And I challenge you to take 5 minutes, just 5 minutes a day, and just start talking to God. Because here's what I know will happen. I'm sorry. You start taking 5 minutes a day, and you start praying for 5 minutes a day, consistently, persistently, sleepless, overwhelming prayer. Pretty soon, you won't even know. You'll be praying 10 minutes. The next thing you all know, you'll be praying 15 minutes. It just happens. And what was interesting to me is I read some studies. They say 96% of Americans pray. I'm not going to ask you if you believe that. Because I'm wondering, well, what does it mean when it says 90% of Americans pray? But then I thought about it. If I was to ask you to give me a definition of prayer, what would you say? Prayer is simply talking to Jesus, all right? Talking to God. Well, I can say, maybe 96% of people do talk to God that way. You know, maybe 96% of people do. But see, I think prayer isn't simply talking to God. I don't even think prayer is simply listening to God and talking to God. I think prayer is more than that. I think prayer goes deeper than just listening and talking to God. I think there's more to prayer. And I kind of wonder if that's what the disciples caught. Remember, if you read your scriptures, and just before Jesus is in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking to his disciples, and they're watching him. And he's been praying, and we looked at some of the scriptures on Jesus' prayers last week. It was a habit for him. In the midst of those prayers, one of his disciples come up to him and go, Lord, teach us to pray. Why? Why would they ask him to teach them to pray? There was just something different. And so I want to use this word this morning, and you can see it here. It's called communion. Prayer is communion with God. So you can write that word in that blank there. That prayer is communion with God. It's more than just talking to God. It's more than talking and listening to God. There's a communion. There's a union there. There's something going on. Maybe you might want to write the word relationship somewhere in here. See, I think when Jesus was praying, the disciples seen something deeper in that prayer with Jesus. Something that went beyond the words that Jesus was saying. Something that went beyond the silence in the midst of those prayers. That there was some kind of a relation, some kind of a communion between the two. There was a relationship happening. And they see that. As I thought about that 96%, I think they may be talking about that talking and maybe even going far enough to talk about that talking and listening. But I don't think they've reached that communion. Because you know what I'm talking about? You know that time when you pray and you know God's there? Anybody? You know, you're praying and you just know there's something different this time. Anybody? You know, it's that communion. There's a connection. There's a contact. There's an awareness. There's a trust. There's something going on. So I don't think those 96% pray like that. I called it this way. I got a little picture here. I call it drive-through prayers. All right. Anybody ever go to drive-through like Taco Bell? Come on. God's gift is Taco Bell, right? Yeah. You know, you pull up and, you know, hey, you know, how can I help you? Would you like a, you know, and they kind of rattle off some specials they're having. And then you tell them what you want. You know, I want this and I want that. You know, give me a green bean burrito, extra onions, you know. And you just kind of give them your order. They go, be that much. Pick it up at the next window. You pay, you grab and run. I think a lot of people think that's what prayer is. They do this drive-through prayer. They pull up to the thing and pull up to God. And God, how can I help you? Would you like a little extra grace today? No, I don't need any grace today. I need two regrets taken care of. I need three healings. I need one forgiveness. And matter of fact, throw in a little revenge in there on da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. And then we just, okay, God, I'm done. Drive through, grab and run, God, and then there's no answer. Why didn't God answer my prayers? You know, I went through the drive through. I went by the window, and nothing came out the way. Do you think people pray like that? Or am I being crazy? You know, I don't even think people, I think many of that 96 don't even pray their hit and run. They pray drive through prayer. And what I want to challenge us this morning is, how can you have that prayer when you know it's not just a prayer? And you're not just talking and you're not just listening, but there's something going on because it's a relationship. And all of a sudden, you're experiencing something. You're experiencing something different in the midst of that prayer. Isn't that really prayer? Isn't that really where prayer takes place? You know, it's not a matter of, you know, here's my list. You know, here's the things I want. It's not like, you know, well, I got to text so-and-so and tell him I need, you know, pull out my phone. I got to text God and tell him I need, you know. I'm going to have my coffee, you know, 7 minutes of coffee and my agenda check off. I prayed today 7 minutes. Yay. You know. I'm talking about when you're sitting there in the presence of God and something's going on. I think God calls it, and I like how it's said here in Corinthians. Look what Paul says. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship. Why don't you circle that word? He's called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fellowship, a communion, a relationship. Over and over, as you read God's word, it talks about Jesus saying, you want to be one with God. I'm one with God. I want you to be one with God. Be one with me. You know, you can get really confused reading. Anybody been confused by reading some of that stuff like that? You know, you kind of get confused. But he's talking about this relationship. I gave you this definition of fellowship. It's the word koinonia. And you might see that word every once in a while. Sometimes people drop Greek words out there, you know, for different signs and stuff. Koinonia. It's that deep fellowship. It's not just, hey, I know you, hi. You know, I was sharing my home group on Monday. I got to meet Jimmy Carter. Matter of fact, I sit in Jimmy Carter's Sunday school class. I got my picture, my wife and I picture next to Jimmy Carter. We're friends with Jimmy Carter. I had fellowship with Jimmy Carter. He stood right next to me. Really? I could have brought you the picture and showed you. You know? I think fellowship is deeper than that. It's deeper than this acquaintance. It's deeper than just, and so I gave all this a communion, association, partnership, fellowship, an association involving close mutual relations and involvement. You know, you're not trying to listen to God. You're not trying to get God on your agenda, God into what you're doing. God, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. Can you come in? Can you be a part? You know, trying to get God involved in your business. You know, it's more of us getting involved in God's business, being a part of what God is doing. And that's that faithfulness. And that's what that's that picture he's painting and what he wants us to see. You know, it's factoring in God and not simply sitting there talking and listening. I like the way Jesus said this. In the 15th chapter of John is a great picture. And he said it this way. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Abide in him, and he abides in us. Ask whatever you wish. That's prayer, right? But you notice that word abide. Circle that. That goes back to that fellowship. These words really tie together. We're abiding. We're connected. We're aware. We're trusting. There's more to that. You ever notice how when you really feel good and you really feel close to God, how your prayers seem really right on? And then when you kind of drifted away a little bit and kind of busyness of life, and it's just like, well, I just got to pray real quick, and you wonder, well, it's just not the same. You ever wonder why? Because, you know, it's not just because you're busy. I'm going to tell you, it's not because you're busy. That has nothing to do with it. It goes back to that relationship, that communion that we have with God, that oneness we have with God, that association we have with God, that abiding we have with God. So how do we get there? How do we have this communion with God? How can we know that when, you know, God, I'm abiding in you and you're abiding in me, and I'm going to ask these prayers and you're going to hear my words, but you're not only going to hear my words, you're going to move in my direction. You're going to move on the things that are on my heart, those things that are on my mind, that you're going to move in those areas of my life, God, that I've set there and opened up to you. You know, how do we get there? How do I do that? And I think communion is a great word to use. That we're just in a communion with God. There's just something going on. And back up in that little 15th chapter, he had these words today, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, if you want to get a picture of this, drive around out here in the behind Salida over here, and you can find the grape orchards, right? Anybody? You can find the vineyards out behind Salida, right? Drive around and you get a picture of what Jesus is talking about. You know, I'm the vine. There's branches. You can just, you know, go right on down Tombs Road. You can see them. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, he's painting a picture that when you're connected to God, when your communion with God is connected, when you're hooked into God, there's something going on. There is something happening. There's an exchange going on. There's strength gain coming through those vines, right? You know, isn't there? You know. Plus, going back, the sun is gathering the photosynthesis. Is that the right word? You know, photosynthesis. And so there's something being exchanged. There's a relationship that's happening. And he uses this word abide, and I think that's a beautiful word. It's fellowship, it's abiding, it's a communion with God. And we want that. I want my prayers. I want to pray and know that God hears me. But I also want to pray and experience God. And so here's what I wrote. I put it this way. If you're looking at your outline, I put communion with God is a constant awareness of God. A constant awareness of God. You know, in the midst of that prayer, you know, in the midst of that experience, you know, in the midst of that communion with God, you know he's thinking of you. You know he's thinking of you. And he knows you're thinking of him. And you're having this experience with God. That is what I call prayer. That's when there's something happening. And it's not just an exchange of words, of listening and talking. You're aware of God. There's an awareness of God. There's something going on between you and God. It's a knowing of God. It's an experience with God. It's that crossing of that invisible line you hear me talk about week in and week out. That there's this invisible line that, you know, like I said, I was 17 when I crossed that line. You know, I always knew there was a God, never doubted there was a God. There was always a God. Never. I always knew there was a God. Went to church camp, did all that stuff, dragged to church, did all that stuff. And I meant dragged to church. I was dragged to church. You know, shh, be quiet. Maybe mom and dad asleep in this morning. Anybody pray that one? Maybe mom and dad still woke up? Yeah. And dragged to church. But at 17, something happened. And it was like a point. You hear me say this often. You got to get a point in your life. It's not about walking an aisle. It's not about being a good person. Not about I was baptized as a baby. It's about, you know, there was a point in my life where I said something along this line. You guys know where I'm at, right? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life and take control. You cross that invisible line, and all of a sudden, you're abiding in him, right? Come on. You're connected with God. You're in fellowship with him. You've crossed that line, and you made that relationship. Now, how many of us can remember the joy of that time? How many remember that? You know? I think about it. I felt so close to God that time. Then you go out and face the world. Yeah. Grandma yelling down the aisle at my church, shouting Baptist. Come on. That's what they called my grandma. Yeah. But there was something going on. All of a sudden, there's a connection. There's a communion. There's a fellowship. There's an abiding. And when that happens, there's a relationship. And it's not about being religious. You know, I'm going to tell you, prayer is not a religious activity. If prayer is a religious activity to you, you're in trouble. You know, those are the prayers that really never leave the building. You know, you ever pray those? You wonder why it never left? Well, maybe it's just trying to be religious. Yeah. Maybe you're pretending. Maybe that's part of that 96%. What do you think? I'm not going to go there. You know? But that abiding, there's something going on there. There's something happening there. And God is moving and God is working. And you're just aware, you know, and you know he knows you, and you know him, and he knows you're thinking about him while he's thinking about you. Don't get all confused, right? You know? But there's just something about that. That's what I want my prayer life to be. That experience, that relationship. Something is going on. I'm experiencing something in the midst of that prayer. Because it grows out of that awareness. But here's what it's going to take. I'm going to give you a word, and you might want to write this word down. It's called time. It's going to take time. I'm going to tell you, I am closer to God today than I was 5 years ago. I'm closer to God today than I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Anybody in that boat? As time goes by, you grow closer. You ever watch those branches on those grapevines grow? Don't they get bigger and bigger and bigger as they grow? That connection gets stronger. Anybody? You know, that connection, you know, more stuff can go through it. And there's something, it takes time. And so here's my challenge to us. That awareness that we have with God is going to take some time. And when it's not there, guess what the problem is? I haven't spent time with God. I haven't taken time for God. If all I do is have time to pray and not experience God and not abide in God, then what happens to those prayers? Those are the ones that bounce off the ceiling back down in your lap. It's an experience that we want. It's something going on in us. That abiding in Christ. And it's going to take time and we're going to have to work at it. I like what Paul is. I like what's happening here for Joshua. Anybody know the story of the Exodus and Moses? Anybody know those stories? Remember, you know, God comes along, you know, Israel's in prison or really slaves in Egypt, and God brings Moses to deliver the people. People are so excited, they can't wait to get to the promised land. They take a shortcut and decide they don't want to go in, right? You know, 40 years wandering in the wilderness, Moses gets them right over to the Jericho, right over to the Jordan River, looking over at the promised land, and Moses doesn't get to go in. 40 years leading the people, 120 years old, can't go in to take the people, and Joshua's going to take over. Now, how'd that be the second guy after Moses? Yeah. And I like what God tells Moses. I mean, God tells Joshua, because I think we need to hear that today in our world. Isn't it pretty rough in our world today? You know, we wonder where God is and what's God doing, and you know, America's going to, you know, wearing a handbasket, and you know, and we look at all this, and I could see Joshua. It's like, do I really want this job? They whined all 40 years. They didn't like the water. They didn't like their food. Anybody? They wanted to even go back to be slaves. You know, I don't know if I like what God tells me. Look at what God says here. Be strong and courageous. Deuteronomy 31:6. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you have that awareness that God is with you? That God is on your side? You know, and just to give you a little hint, God had to come back and tell Joshua again, be strong and courageous. And just so you get a little more knowing, he had to come back a third time. Anybody feel that way? Even though we know God is there, sometimes, you know, God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. God is there in the midst. God is there working with us. But you've got to take time to experience that. You've got to take time to be there and to be a part of that. Look at what he says here. Look what David wrote. God says, Psalms 46:10. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be praised by all nations. I will be praised throughout the earth. The Lord all-powerful is with us. The God of Jacob is our defender. Do you have that awareness that God is with you? That you are abiding in Him and He is abiding in you. You are connected. You are there. Do you have that? If you don't, I'm going to tell you what the solution is. It's a real quick solution. It is a real quick solution. Time. All right? I was thinking this morning, as I was going over my message this morning, time. Our worship team comes up and leads us. Some of them are traveling today, and they come up and lead us. And our prayer, and if you talk to the worship, they want to bring us into the presence of God. That's what we want the music to do. We want us to be drawn into the presence of God. And we're praying that you will see God in them and want to be a part of what God is doing. And it's trying to get you there, that time. You know, I want to share these messages that connect you and pull you in and help you find feeding in God. And you need that. See, and so it's going to take some time. So give me an hour and a half on Sunday morning. You know, and then I want to challenge you to get in a small group. You know, get with 4, 5, 8, 10 Christians and spend some time in God's Word. Spend some time studying and sharing together and sharing life's journeys and around God's Word and spend some time. So spend another hour and a half during the week with God. So you're spending time with God. So now you got 3 hours. You did good. You got 2% of your week. Most of us say that's good for God, right? I'm close to God. I spent 2% of my week with God. Yay! You know, 3 hours is 2%, a little over 2%, I think. Yeah. It's going to take some alone time by yourself. Did you hear me? You know, it's not a matter of coming to church. You know, I think, what about the twofers? You know who the twofers are? The twofers are those who come Christmas and Easter. They're the twofers. Yeah. And then they wonder where God's at. Drive through? Hey, God, I need, you know. Go up the window and try to grab it out the window. There ain't nothing there. I wonder what happened. God never hears my prayers. You want me to tell you why? Did you take some time with Him? Did you take some time? Did you spend some time with Him besides just, you know, that push the button, give me my orders? Yeah. Do you have that awareness of God, that God is there? If you don't, I'm going to take some time. It's real simple. When you feel God's not there, when you feel God is gone, and you feel God's kind of disappeared, I can solve that problem for you. Get alone with God, and He'll show up. Did you get me? Get alone with God and He'll show up. He'll be there. He's waiting. Yeah. That's an awareness of God. Are you aware? You want that communion. You want your prayers to be more than just talk and listen. You want an experience with God. Spend some time. Be aware that God is there wherever you're at. The second thing I put down here is this. Communion with God is a constant contact with God. You got to get contacted to God. How many have phones? Anybody got a phone? Anybody got a cell phone here? You got a contact list on your phone? Yeah. Do you have one for God? Yeah. You need a contact with God, all right? Now, this is the prayer part, all right? Do you get the picture? Communion with God is an awareness where you have time. Communion with God is that contact with God. When you're talking back and forth, you're communicating. That's just a part. Think about that. Talking and listening is just a part of prayer. If you really want prayer to be an experience, you want prayer to be a relationship. See, it's that this is a communication. I'm in contact with God. There's something going on. Look at what it says. Luke 18. One day, Jesus told His disciples a story to show them they should always pray and never give up. Now, I want to ask you a question here. What comes first, praying or giving up? Prayer. So if you don't want to give up, what do you got to do first? Does that make sense? You got to pray. You got to talk with God. You got to spend time with God. You got to spend that time and, you know, emailing and texting and, you know, How many of you get up first thing in the morning, besides me? Now, I'm going to be honest, besides me. And the first thing you do, at least for me, I get up, I get on that computer, and I go to my email. All right? The second thing, you get up, you pull your phone out, and you look at your... Oh, you guys, see, you guys know. You look at this, you know, did anybody text me? Yeah. We'll do, and then maybe after all that, well, now you need to pray a little bit. Right? Yeah. Oh, there you go. Somebody said do that first, right? Yeah. See, we get caught up in contacting all those around us. We want to stay in contact. I want to stay in contact. My daughter's driving to Fort Knox right now with some friends. I'm sending in contact. You know how I'm sending in contact with them? Go on Facebook and see their journey. You got a Facebook with God? How about face-to-face with God? Isn't that better? That's called prayer. You know? You got to get in contact with God. You got to be part of what God is doing. You got to talk with God. But I want to tell you a little bit more. It's not just, when I'm talking about contacting God, I'm not just talking about prayer. I want to throw something else in there. I want to throw this thing I got in my hand right here. It's called a what? A Bible. Does God speak through this? Does God communicate through this? Does God contact us through this? So guess what I need to read? You know, you need to read this. That's why, you know, when we talk about time with God, it's not just talking to God. It's like, what does God's Word have to say? So last week I challenged you to spend 5 minutes. Remember 5 minutes. Consistent, persistent, sleepless, overcoming prayer. It's not just praying. Open the Word of God. I'll give you a book. You guys, anybody struggling right now? Anybody got some really hard times right now? Here's what I want to challenge you to do this week. In your prayers, take 5 minutes, talk to God, and read Philippians. Read 3 verses. Read 5 verses. I don't know. Read a chapter a day. Read Philippians. And think about this. I don't care how bad your day is. Paul's sitting in jail when he wrote it, okay? You think you got it bad. He's in jail writing that. You know, you come to that fourth chapter. I'll just go right on all the way to the fourth chapter. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And guess where he's sitting? In jail. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I was sitting in jail, I would not be saying, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be saying, Lord, get me out of here. All right? I want out. Yeah. But Paul's sitting there saying, so whatever you're trying to, listen, take some time. I'm just, read Philippians this week. Spend some time talking, listening, and reading God's Word. That's contacting God. See, that's connecting. Isn't that, wait, wouldn't that be abiding with God? You know, wouldn't that be communion with God? Wouldn't that be fellowship with God? You see all the words you can throw in there with that? That's prayer. That, to me, is really prayer. I think that's when the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. They were watching him, and there was just something different about that relationship he had with God when he was praying. And I want that kind of relationship. I want my prayers like that. And so we got to have this awareness of God, and we got to get in contact with God. We got to be contacting him and talking and sharing and listening and communicating and reading his word and spending time. He's not asking for certain formulas to pray. He's not asking us to pretend something we're not. I'm going to tell you, when I'm whining and I'm hurting, and it happens. I will come whining to church on a day. I have this long commute. You know. We're really, just so you know, I got blessed this week. Laura got a phone call, and Laura's going to be able to teach right over here next door again. It is so hard for us to walk across the street and walk through the... She gets a shorter walk than I do. I got to walk from her office to my office. You know, that's a long walk out here in front. Yeah. But I'll come here, and sometimes, you know, things just aren't right. And I'll come whining. Anybody come whining before God besides me? I'll come whining to God. It's like, oh, you know, life's not fair. Somebody got this and somebody did this. And why is this happening to me? And I'll go into the prayer room because I will. I'll march right through that door and right back into that room over there. And I'll start out, God, and Before I get done, it's like, oh, I'm so blessed. You know what? Whatever drives you into it, God can bless you while you're there. Do you get me? Whatever drives you to that point to encounter God, to contact God, can be a blessing that you take out of that place. Because I'll leave that place going, you know, I really am blessed. I want to whine God, but I am blessed. You know, no matter what. You know, because it's that contact with God. Don't have to pretend. If you're hurting, you know, sometimes there's going to be joy, and sometimes there's going to be sorrow and pain and hurts. Sometimes it's going to be little things, and sometimes it's going to be overwhelming things. You know, sometimes it's just going to be stuff in our lives as we're wrestling with which way do I go and what decision do I make. And then sometimes it's going to be thank you, God, for protecting me, driving me. Sometimes it's going to be praying for strength and wisdom. Sometimes it's just going to be sitting there in God's presence. But see, it comes out of that contact with God, out of being there with God. And so are you spending time with God? Or do you have a contact with God? Do you have a contact number? I'm going to give you a contact number for God. Okay? Two. Matter of fact, I'll give you two. Pray and read your Bible. All right? You got an awareness of God. You know He knows. You know He loves you, and you know He cares for you. You know He's there, and you know He's there, and He's thinking about you, and you're thinking about Him. You know. You got that awareness. You got that time with God. And then you're contacting Him. You're praying, and you're reading God's Word, and you're just spending some time in that experience. And then out of that experience, something happens, right? It's called prayer. See, to me, that's really prayer. It's not just a list of stuff. It's not just thanking God. Because, you know, God doesn't want to just hear you praise Him. God wants to hear your needs. Isn't that true? Didn't He say, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden? Didn't He say that? Matthew chapter 11, you want to know where to look, just to give you a hint, He did. Yeah. He'd tell you, bring all your sorrow. He tells us all that. You need wisdom? What does He say? Ask. You need strength? I can do all things through Christ, ask. You know, that's that experience with God, that communion with God. And the last thing I put down here was this: communion with God is a constant trust in God. I got to trust God. I got to trust God. The problem is, I know what I need. I know what I want. I know the best things for my life, right? That's good for me. That would really be good for me. If God would only get... I've shared this before, and we talk about this all the time, and at least I do. There's things that I have gotten that I've worked hard to get that why in the world did I want it? Yeah. I remember Laura and I bought the first car. We bought a brand new car. Brand spanking new car. Going to college, my last year in college, bought this brand new 4-speed sleek. You know what? You're still young. Yeah. Nice car, third gear scratch. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know, flying down the road. Park it at the campus, apartments we live in, and some kid threw one of those Hot Wheels over the car and put a ding in the paint job. Right in the middle of the hood. I mean, you know, about the size, little bitty, couple of dings. Oh, I was mad. Brand new car. Had to go over to the Mercury dealer and buy the touch-up paint. You know, and tap it in there. Come on now. Anybody? You know? Now where's that car? It's probably a pancake somewhere that they... You ever watch them crush those cars? You know, that's probably where it's at now. Some things we think are so... Do we trust God? Yeah. Haven't bought a new car since then. You need to know that. I don't think I'll ever buy another new car. I bought nearly new, all right? I bought nearly new. Did we buy a new car? Huh? That wasn't new. It had my... Was it? Oh, okay. She keeps me straight. Yeah. Think about it. Do you trust God with your life? That He knows what's best? See that awareness? That you're in contact with Him? That you trust God? Look at what it says here in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 5:20. They were helped in fighting, and God delivered the Hagarites and all their allies into their hands because they, listen, cried out to Him during the battle. When were they crying out? Before the battle? During the battle? Anybody, you ever cry out in your battles? In the middle of them? Get the picture. Crying out during the battle. He answered their prayers because they trusted Him. You ever wonder maybe your prayer's not answered because you didn't trust Him? Whoa. Trust Him. We trust God. He knows what's best. He knows the needs. He knows the want. Listen to what it says here in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. You know, there's going to be times when you feel God's not there. I do. There's going to be times when you feel God is far off. I've been there. What am I going to do? God's abandoned me. Did He abandon me? No. He said He's always going to be with me. I got to trust Him. In the midst of that trust, I go back. In the midst of that faith, I go back to an awareness of God. To some time. Just some time. And I contact God. Spend some time talking and reading. And you know what? All of a sudden, I'm kind of drawn back into God. Isn't that true? You're just kind of drawn back in. You just take that time and you spend those moments with God and you spend some time in talking and just experiencing God. Maybe it's coming to church and getting close to God in your home group or just some time sitting at your dining room table or in that recliner and you just spend some time with God. And maybe you talk and maybe you listen. You open the scriptures and you just, God speak. And as you're doing that, all of a sudden, you're just kind of drawn back into God. He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So I want to challenge you this morning. How near to God are you? How near to God are you? Can you pray and know there's an awareness that God is there? You know, we let things get in the way. You know, I'll give you some things we let get in the way. We let our busyness get in the way. Anybody? We let our busyness get in the way. You know, I've got all this to do, schedule, you know. Maybe you're looking at your calendar this week. Got to get this. I got to do this. I got to go here. You know what else we let get in the way? We let regrets. Anybody? We let regrets get in the way. You know, we let sin get in the way. We let unforgiveness get in the way. See, we let these things get in the way. So you come back. And like I said, I wonder, you know, we drive up to that drive-thru. And it's like, okay, God, I'm here. And the first word I think God wants to hear, and I think I want us to hear. It's like those things at McDonald's or Taco Bell or wherever. You know, we got a special on. Would you like the new, try our new da-da-da? God, I think when we pull up to God, I think the first thing is, I've got some grace for you. Anybody? I got some grace for you. You need grace today? You need some of my grace? I think that's what God has for us. I think when we come up to God in the midst of abiding with God, and maybe we've drifted, and maybe things have gotten in the way, maybe it's busyness, maybe it's sin, regrets, I don't know, unforgiveness, I don't know what it is. But God is at the window going, I got some grace. I got some grace. Abide in me, and I in you, and experience grace. Isn't that wonderful? That's prayer. That's really what I want my prayer life to be. Not some 7-minute agenda item I can check off on Monday morning and Tuesday morning, and, you know, here's my task list and prayer right on the top. You know, not some drive-through, here's my da-da-da-da-da. But some time that I've experienced God. How you doing today? How you doing? Are you in communion with God? There's grace. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for your love, care, mercy. I thank you that you're God and not a God who has wandered off, but a God who desires to live in the hearts of each and everyone here, that you want to abide in them, that they may abide in you. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you feel God's far away right now. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is. I give you some, and you might think of your own. And maybe you want to be drawn back to God. Would you just shoot your hand up and say, would you pray for me? Would you just shoot your hand up? Thank you. I see him. Thank you. I see him. Anyone else? Thank you. I see it. Lord, there's some here this morning that feel kind of drifted away. Maybe overwhelmed with life. Maybe with busyness, maybe with battles, but you know their heart. Lord, we know you know who we are. You know who they are. You know their hurts. You know their sorrows. You know their joys. I ask you just to come in and touch them, to renew that love and that joy that they once experienced, that they may know that you are real. And that you abide in their heart. Give them a time of refreshing. A fresh touch of your grace. We all need your grace, Lord. But touch them from above. That something bubbles up in them. That they cannot deny. An experience with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.